भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. दिस् इस् केण्टो 5 चाप्टर् 10 entitled Maharaj Rahugana Meets Jad Bharat. And we're on text number 15 today, which is another prose text. And I will read that. Sachapi Pandavaya Sindhu Sovirapatis Tatva Jignasayam Samyak Shraddhayadhikratadhikaras Tadhridaya Granthi Mochnam Dujavacha Ashrutya Bahu Yoga Grantha Sammatam Twaraya Avaruhya Shirasa Padamulam Upasritah Kshamapayan Vigatanrapa Devasmaya Uvacha. That means, Shukdev Goswami continued, O best of the Pandu dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, the king of the Sindhu and Sauvira states, Maharaj Rahugana, had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadabharata that philosophical presentation which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process which slackens the knot in the heart. His material conception of himself as a king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharata, in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against the great Brahmana. Then he prayed as follows. Kindly repeat. Shukdev Goswami continued. O best of the Pandu dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, the king of the Sindhu and Sauvira states, Maharaj Rahugana, had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadabharata that philosophical presentation which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process, which slackens the knot in the heart. His material conception of himself as a king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharata, in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against the great Brahmana. He then prayed as follows. So Srila Prabhupada has given a very nice purport here. We'll read that. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 2, Lord Krishna says, Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sakale neha mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science, as it is, appears to be lost. Through the disciplic succession, the royal order was on the same platform as great saintly persons, Raja Rishis. Formerly, they could understand the philosophy of life and knew how to train the citizens to come to the same standard. In other words, they knew how to deliver the citizens from the entanglement of birth and death. When Maharaj Dasharatha ruled Ayodhya, the great sage Vishvamitra once came to him to take away Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman to the forest to kill a demon. When the saintly person Vishvamitra came to the court of Maharaj Dasharatha, the king, in order to receive the saintly person, asked him, Aihishtam yattat punarjanma jayaya. He asked the sage whether everything was going on well in his endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death. The whole process of Vedic civilization is based on this point. We must know how to conquer the repetition of birth and death. Maharaj Rahugana also knew the purpose of life. Therefore, when Jad Bharat put the philosophy of life before him, he immediately appreciated it. This is the foundation of Vedic society. Learned scholars, brahmanas, saintly persons, and sages who were fully aware of the Vedic purpose advised the royal order how to benefit the general masses. And by their cooperation, the general masses were benefited. Therefore, everything was successful. Maharaj Rahugana attained this perfection of understanding the value of human life. Therefore, he regretted his insulting words to Jarabharata, and he immediately descended from his palanquin and fell down at the lotus feet of Jarabharata in order to be excused and to hear from him further about the values of life known as Brahma Jignasa, inquiry into the absolute truth. At the present moment, high government officials are ignorant of the values of life. And when saintly persons endeavor to broadcast the Vedic knowledge, the so-called executives do not offer their respectful obeisances, but try to obstruct the spiritual propaganda. Thus, one can say that the former kingly government was like heaven, and that the present government is like hell. Om Agnana Timaranthasya Gnananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Lankhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharanam. O best of the Pandu dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, the king of the Sindhu and Sovira states, Maharaj Rahugana had great faith in discussions of the absolute truth. Being thus qualified, he heard from Jadabharat that philosophical presentation which is approved by all scriptures on the mystic yoga process, which slackens the knot in the heart. His material conception of himself as king was thus destroyed. He immediately descended from his palanquin and fell flat on the ground with his head at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in such a way that he might be excused for his insulting words against the great Brahmana. He then prayed as follows. So the first thing, it would seem, that Srila Prabhupada points out is that this is not a new situation here. This is the standard process of receiving Vedic knowledge. A saintly king who appreciates that knowledge to begin with, because that appreciation has to be there, first and foremost. And such a king, if he governs in terms of the directions given by great saintly persons, brahmanas, rishis, devotees, like Jadabharata here in this verse, then he can achieve the perfection of his own life, and he can also benefit those who are in his care. Evam parampara praptam. This is quite clear. Prabhupada quotes this verse. So through the disciplic succession, the royal order was on the same platform as great saintly persons. They're called the Raja Rishis. Although they're Rajas, they're also Rishis. Nowadays, we don't get even Rajas. We don't get Rishis nor Rajas. So that's why things are topsy-turvy. But formerly, Prabhupada writes, formerly they could understand the philosophy of life and knew how to train the citizens to come to the same standard. That's quite a sentence. Formerly they could understand the philosophy of life and knew how to train the citizens to come to the same standard. This is the whole key. For those who are administrators, this is the whole key. Now, Prabhupada goes on. In other words, they knew how to deliver the citizens from the entanglement of birth and death. Maharaj Brihugana was a great saintly king himself. Therefore, he appreciated Jadabharata. Now, Jadabharata was also a great saintly king, but he wasn't acting as that in this particular incarnation. We know the story. He was so careful, and he had learned his lesson so well about his previous mistakes that he was determined not to get involved in anything as much as possible. He was avadhuta. In fact, I think the word is used here in several verses, avadhuta. But he knew how to deliver the citizens from the entanglement of birth and death. And this is an instruction that was given by his own predecessor, isn't it? Anybody know what I'm thinking? Patishasyan. What is that verse? Yeah. Third line. Jananis nasasyat. Yeah, namochayad yasumapeta mrityum. But one should not become a pati. Here the word is used. Sindhu sauvira pati. Maharaj Rahugana was the king. Pati means lord. It also means husband. It also means king. Either way. Here it's sauvira pati, sindhu pati. What is this sindhu and sauvira? Does anybody know? Where is this? It's modern day Pakistan. Just see how things change. This is the effect of the time factor. Previously, in that quarter, we had kings like Maharaj Rahugana, and Jadabharata was wandering around in that area as well, and just happened to come in contact with his king, and transmission of spiritual knowledge took place that was significant enough to be recorded here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The key here is one should not become such a king unless he can deliver his dependents. So actually, Maharaj Rahugana was like that, but because of the material entanglement, we can assume, that is characteristic of kshatriyas, administrators, managers, politicians, soldiers, they have what Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita as Ishwara Bhava. What does Ishwara Bhava mean? They think they're the Lord. Yeah, so the Ishwara in this sense, pati, is the same thing. So, this is the idea. One should not become such a pati unless he can deliver his dependents. If for the king, the dependent is the citizens. For a husband, the dependent is the family, wife and children. For the lord, the dependent is everyone. This is to the extent that one wants to become Ishwara, he has to have the potency to deliver those who depend upon him. This is the definition. Ego bahunam yo vidhati kaman, the Shruti mantra says. One actually has to satisfy these dependents, and it's not always a very easy thing to do. So, that's one thing. Maharaj Rahugana was in this line, and certainly Jadabharata was also in this line. His own forefather, Rishabhadev, had spoken that verse, so he knew these things very well. Now, the second thing that Srila Prabhupada points out here is he mentions this, something that I've heard him say in many other lectures as well. When Maharaj Dashrath ruled Ayodhya, Vishvamitra came to take away his sons to go and kill the demons. And the first thing Maharaj Dashrath was inquiring by way of greeting him was, Aihishtam yet tat punarjanma jayaya. How is your effort to conquer birth and death going? In other words, it was such a prominent understanding in that social milieu that Maharaj Dashrath saw nothing odd about inquiring from this Brahmin, from this sage, in that way. And Prabhupada sees the significance of this as that this is the whole process of Vedic civilization. The entire purpose of life is to conquer birth and death. There are certain passages or certain statements in the scripture that seem to strike us, or that seem to strike Srila Prabhupada. This is one of them, because he repeats it quite a bit throughout his books. Another one is, for example, the commentary Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the second chapter, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi verse, that really made a profound impression on Srila Prabhupada. So when I was seeing this, when I was reading this, it made me think of a similar statement in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text number 9. Duryodhana is speaking, and he says that all these men, he's referring to all of his men, his soldiers, his fallible soldiers, as it turned out, he said they're all tyakta jivita. What does that mean? They've all given up their lives for my sake. Mat arthe tyakta jivita. And I was thinking about this. If these men were able to give up their lives for someone like Duryodhana, then why can't we give up our lives for the sake of our spiritual master? Something to think about. Anyway, every once in a while, a very poignant statement will come up, and evidently Srila Prabhupada thinks this is very important because he says this. One must know how to conquer the repetition of birth and death. This is really the thing that defines human life, as opposed to animal life. Dharmasya hina pashubhisamana. Without this sense of what dharma is and what advancement in human life is, then one is really not different from an animal. Human beings are not biologically defined. Humanity is defined in terms of one's acceptance, one's application of dharma. That's what defines a human being, not your biological status. So he asked the sage whether everything was going on well in his endeavor to conquer the repetition of birth and death. The whole process of Vedic civilization is based on this point. We must know how to conquer the repetition of birth and death. Now, the third thing here is Maharaj Nahukana knew this purpose of life. Therefore, when Jadapada put the philosophy of life before him, he immediately appreciated it. This is the foundation of Vedic society. We said in the beginning, it doesn't work if you have qualified brahmanas. You also have to have qualified administrators who appreciate those brahmanas. You also have to have qualified vaishyas who facilitate both of those higher classes. You also have to have the very bedrock of the society, at least in terms of mundane necessities, who are the shudras. They're all dependent. Prabhupada very often explains it's like the body. Even though the head, you can do without maybe one limb or even two limbs. Some people don't have any limbs. But you cannot do without your head. So just because the head is more important, it doesn't mean that the head is not concerned about the other limbs. This is, in fact, one of the symptoms of the truly Brahman-realized person. He does care about the others. He cares. Because he has empathy. Atma upamyena sarvata samam pashit yorjana sukham va yadi va dukham sa yogi paramomata, Krishna says. He's the best yogi. So everyone is important. Everyone has his place, but they have different places. And this is also important to understand. When we accept Vedic wisdom from saintly persons such as Vishwamitra or Jarabharata, or even from saintly kings like Maharaj Bharata or Maharaj Rahugana and others, Dasharatha, etc., then we can appreciate this point, that human life is actually meant for everyone's self-realization, and it's meant to advance everyone, and everyone has a different function to perform, but they're equally important, although they're not the same absolutely. This is the Kevaladvaita idea that Prabhupada so often smashes throughout his books, lectures, and conversations. Artificial oneness is to be eliminated, but an appreciation of spiritual oneness is something that's absolutely necessary. And Prabhupada goes so far as to say here that the whole process of Vedic civilization is based on this point. One has to understand the boon that human life offers him, which is to attain this spiritual realization. What is that spiritual realization? Brahma bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate. Krishna says that one understands the nature of spirit. He identifies with that spirit. He becomes joyful because that is the nature of that spirit. He does no longer laments. He no longer hankers or envies anyone else. He's no longer whining about his fate. Third line? Samasarveshu bhuteshu. He sees all living beings equally, therefore. The rest of us see different living entity in different bodies. If the body is different, we assume the living entity is also different. But the person who spiritually realized doesn't think like this. So, this is another point. Everything is successful when people have the spiritual wisdom to appreciate their unique individuality as well as the spiritual equality at the same time. On the mundane level, everything is different, and on the spiritual level, everything is similar. So Maharaj Ruhugana attained this perfection of understanding the value of human life. Therefore, he regretted his insulting words of Tujad Bharata. And he immediately descended from his palanquin and fell down at the lotus feet of Jadabharata in order to be excused and to hear from him further about the values of life known as Brahma Jigyasa, inquiry into the absolute truth. This is something that Sridhar Swami has commented on this verse. He's about the only acharya who has really commented at length, at least in our line. And he says that he attained adhikar. Here the word is used, adhikrita adhikara. He attained the proper qualification for that. And what is that? Here it's called tattva-jignyasayam. In the matter of tattva-jignyasa, Sridhar Swami qualifies what this means. It's really brahma-jignyasa, understanding the absolute truth. So he got good faith, samyak shraddha. And what is the nature of this faith, and what is the nature of the instructions that were given by Jadabharata to Maharaj Ruhugana? Hridaya granthi mojanam. These instructions were able to slash the knot within the heart, to free one from the knot within the heart, which is this false ego that impels us to identify with matter, to become entangled in karma, and to suffer the consequences birth after birth. That's the significance of this idea, punarjanma jayaya. Human life is meant for conquering over repeated birth and death. So, what those words have further been described here is bohu yoga grantha sammatam. They're approved in many scriptures on yoga. Now, we're not talking about pure devotional service here, it would seem. This is all pretty generic spiritual knowledge. Even nowadays, whatever spiritual realization exists in the far north of India, they're mostly impersonalists. And this is pretty much... there's no explicit mention of bhakti here, but still, these things are all important because this is at least the substrate of bhakti, the foundation of bhakti. Now, Maharaj Ruhugana, he has appreciated this, and Prabhupada has put it very gently here in his purport, but the acharyas in their commentaries have stated very unequivocally that... To put it in colloquial terms, Maharaj Ruhugana had his mind blown by the instructions of Jadabharat, and he was, it said, here we have Vigata Nripa Deva Smaya. Smaya means, anybody know what the word Smaya means? Prabhupada translates it here as pride, false pride. He gave up the false pride of being the Nripa Deva, the god of the people. A king is sometimes called Naradeva, because he's the god of the people, as it were. especially in Far Eastern cultures, they make that very explicit. And a Brahmana is called a Bhudeva. Similarly, he's the god of the whole world. God's walking on the earth, as it were. So this is in the Kshatriya especially, who is already has a little bit of weakness towards the Ishwara Bhava. This produces a mountain of pride. And this, the word, I think it was both Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur used the word garva instead of smaya. Smaya actually doesn't usually mean pride. It means to smile. In fact, according to the dictionary, our English word smile is actually coming from the same root in Sanskrit, which is smith, to smile. So smaya, we can picture someone who's proud of himself. He has this chuffed smile on his face. So this is what was destroyed in Maharaj Rahugana when he heard this phenomenal teachings coming from Jarabharata that we've been hearing in the last few verses. Obviously a very thoughtful palanquin carrier here, atypical palanquin carrier, not your ordinary Shudra. So Maharaj Rahugana was quite shocked, and he got down and he bowed on the ground, even the great king. Now Jarabharata had already spoken so many things, but Prabhupada indicates here that Maharaj Rahugana was eager to hear more. This just goes to further illustrate how much appreciation he had for the real value of human life in the realm of Brahma Jignasa, inquiry into the absolute truth. And maybe it's in another verse. Yes, it's in the next verse. This verse, the famous verse from the Upanishads, tad vijnanartham sagurumim avigachet samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. One has to approach a guru to understand the purpose of life, what is the absolute truth. This is what he's doing, in effect, here. When we see someone has this spiritual realization, it's our duty to surrender and to hear, or at least inquire in this way. So Maharaj Rahugana is setting that example as well for future kings, for his descendants and other kings who may be reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, finally, Srila Prabhupada concludes his purport. He says, at the present moment, here comes the contrast. At the present moment, high government officials are ignorant of the values of life, and when saintly persons endeavor to broadcast the Vedic knowledge, the so-called executives, what should they be executing? They should be executing the tenets of Shastra, or at least executing something that's going to bring someone to spiritual realization. So Prabhupada's not using the word executives lightly either. So-called executives do not offer their respectful obeisances, but try to obstruct the spiritual propaganda. This is a problem. And even in India, I should even go so far as to say, especially in India, this is a problem, because the Indians really should know better. And they, in fact, do know better. But they're working very hard, as fast as they possibly can, to sweep all vestiges of Vedic culture and knowledge out of the door. They just don't want it in the way. And this is an unfortunate situation in the Western countries already. They've swept it out long ago, and so everyone suffers. And therefore, Prabhupada, his periodic sentence here, thus one can say that the former kingly government was like heaven and that the present government is like hell, period. Certainly that is the case in the Sindhu and Sovira province that we're talking about, because now if you just appear on the street there wearing a dhoti and tilak, you will probably be murdered, especially if you're American and furthermore from Jewish background. Vasu Ghosh was joking like this, because some years ago they had some threat in ISKCON, Gujarat, that there was a possible terrorist attack being planned. And Vasu Ghosh said that if you're an ISKCON devotee, you can be American, Hindu, and Jew all at the same time. So they really like to kill you. Anyway, this is the sorry state of Pakistan in the present day and age. This is formerly the province of Maharaj Rahugana, who was enlightened in this way by Jarabharata. But the point is that these are absolute principles. They're applicable even here in California to one extent or another. And we need to hear about these things on a regular basis, because it's important that someone act on this. I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Archbishop Rule.
In spite of the danger, there are devotees preaching there.
Yeah.
I've been getting regular emails from a young man he's a paraplegic, he's Pakistani, and he was born in a Muslim family. But not only is he now preaching bhakti openly and getting beat up and arrested for it, but he has created a website against Islam, saying that the current state of Islam is actually murderous, treacherous, etc. I mean, this guy's fearless. Totally fearless.
Yeah. I don't know how diplomatic that is, or strategic it is, but at least we can say he's Abhaya Charana. Yeah, there are devotees. There's Urdu Gitas there, and there are devotees who have dedicated themselves to preaching undercover, not only in Pakistan. But, I mean, Pakistan is perhaps the epicenter of, you know, Islamic hatred, if you will, but in other Arabic countries as well. I mean, we don't really want to cultivate any anti-Islamic sentiments. We're not against any religion, but certainly everybody can benefit from hearing the light of the Bhagavata, right? Esha Puranarko Dhunoditaha. It's here just for that purpose. So, and I, at least personally, I have faith that because this devotional service was practiced so long in that area, somehow or other, even though they've covered it up, there's still something underneath. I mean, we know, according to the absolute truth, everybody always has this in any country. Any sinful person can be purified by the innate potency of bhakti, and certainly in Pakistan as well and other places. But Prabhupada, one of the points that he's making here in this purport is that there has to be very clear cooperation between especially the saintly class, the intellectuals, priests, and the executives, managers, politicians, government. That's very, very important because they're so influential on the mass of people in general. So those are some things we can learn as well. Someone, I think it was maybe Burke Roquefort, did a survey and just he found that Srila Prabhupada gave perhaps 80% of his instructions on Varnashram Dharma in the last 3 years that he was with us, which suggests that through his own experience, he was increasingly seeing the value of this sort of social system, even in his own society, what to speak of in the society in general. So these are all important points. Anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
The world, this is Laninath Prabhu, the best cook in all Mundorka. Can you please tell us how you became that great?